Stay tuned as we talk about Bible prophecy today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick is talking about Bible prophecy. His subject is Getting One World Ready for Two Men. This is a lengthy series, and we know that it's sometimes hard to catch every program. I'll be back at the end of today's message with an important announcement that might be of some help if you missed one of the programs or would like to share this important teaching with friends. And now, with today's installment, here is Gary Hedrick.
Right, thank you, and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of Messianic Perspectives. This is program number 13 in our series of prophetic studies on getting one world ready for two men. And we've been talking about getting one world ready for two men religiously, geopolitically, getting the world ready technologically, historically, and prophetically, five different ways. And on point number one, getting the world ready religiously, we said the Bible gives us some very interesting details about religious conditions at the end of this age and the role religion will play in God's prophetic plan at the end of this age. And remember, we've spent quite a bit of time talking about the continuity between the ancient Roman Empire and the global kingdom the Bible says will rise up in the end times. So it's interesting on this first point where we're talking about religious deception and the fact that this religious deception will actually disguise itself as Christianity with quotes around Christianity, it's interesting to note that the same thing happened in ancient Rome. Remember what we said? Rome actually adopted a modified form of Christianity. It called itself Christian, used Christian terminology and Christian vocabulary. But the Romans, that is the Gentiles, made changes, subtle changes in many instances, but changes nonetheless, so that this messianic faith from the Middle East actually became a Roman religion. A Gentile religion, quite different from the faith of Jesus and his apostles. It was a deception. That's why the New Testament warns us over and over again about religious deception in the end times. Some things don't change much, even in 2,000 years. Because, you see, there's a certain gullibility, or maybe I should say naivete. There's a certain naivete in all of us who know the Messiah. If we are people of integrity, then our yea is yea and our nay is nay. There is no guile in us. We are open and transparent, and we have a tendency to think everyone else is the same way, just like we are. After all, we're all in the family of God, right? Well, that's why the New Testament warns us repeatedly about religious deception and about religious deceivers. In fact, ironically, there is more deception and more danger in the religious world than there is anywhere else. Satan is more active in the religious world than anywhere else. Listen, Satan is more active in some local churches than he is down at the corner tavern or down at the disco. And sometimes I think there's more integrity and more honesty in those poor people sitting down there at the local bar where people make no pretense of knowing the Lord than there is in some of our Christian circles. That's why the New Testament or the New Covenant spends so much time warning us about this. And why is deception so dangerous? Because deception always leads to destruction. Remember that. Deception always leads to destruction. In fact, it's a two-edged sword because it leads to destruction not only for the one who is deceived, but also for the deceiver himself. In the book of Revelation, we find the arch-deceiver, Satan, being cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Why? Because deception leads to destruction. It leads to judgment. The ultimate deception is when the deceiver himself is deceived. And then finally, destroyed. So when the Lord said that not everyone who says to him, Lord, Lord, would enter the kingdom of heaven, he was warning us about religious deceivers. I mean, these are people who actually call Jesus Lord. In fact, let's look at it over here in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. He says, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Verse 22. Many, he says, not just a few, but many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? You see, these are religious leaders. They're out there prophesying in the name of Jesus, casting out demons in the name of Jesus, doing many wonders and miracles, it says, in the name of Jesus. But look at what it says in verse 23. And then Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, you who work iniquity. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven, Jesus says. You see, my friend, you have got to be on the lookout for religious deception and for religious deceivers. And I realize there has to be a balance here, because I know some of these so-called discernment ministries get carried away to the point where they're the only ones who are right and everyone else is wrong. I know that. In fact, I'll never forget a few years ago, Dr. Half and I got this catalog in the mail from one of the discernment ministries. This happened to be a place somewhere out in Arizona. And, you know, these are the ministries where they discern who is right and who is wrong in Christendom, who is genuine and who's not genuine. And, you know, Dr. Half and I were in his office that night going over this catalog that we'd gotten that day. And we were kind of chuckling because this catalog had fact sheets available on just about every radio or television preacher you could think of. Literally dozens of them, including some who were friends of ours. It was like this guy who put out these fact sheets on dozens of evangelical preachers thought he was the only one left with the truth. Everyone else is wrong. And Dr. Half said, Gary, it's only a matter of time before he puts out a fact sheet on you. And he might have one by now, for all I know. But listen, I hope we never get so self-righteous and so self-centered that we think we're the only ministry in the world with the truth. I hope we never get so eaten up with jealousy toward other ministries that are being used of the Lord that all we know how to do is sit back and criticize them. Have you ever noticed how most of these critics are people who aren't accomplishing much for the kingdom? We found out later that this guy in Arizona who put out that catalog has about 15 members in his congregation, or at least he did back when we checked on him. Probably hasn't led a soul to the Lord in years. He'd be a lot better off if he'd get out from behind his typewriter and get out there and knock on some doors, hand out some tracts, preach on a street corner, get some people saved and baptized and into the church, start doing something constructive. So I hope we never get to the point where we think we're the only ministry in the world with the truth. But at the same time, I also hope we never become so naive that we lose our powers of discernment. I hope we never become so gullible that we can't tell truth from error. I hope we never lose our determination always to test every spirit, as the Bible says, and to measure every teaching by the yardstick of Scripture. So yes, there has to be a balance, and sometimes that balance is difficult to maintain. That's why we've got to stay in the Word. We've got to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-controlled, taught by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, prompted by the Spirit, endowed with a holy boldness by the Spirit of God. And so this is what we're talking about, the fact that the world right now is being prepared religiously for the advent of the anti-Messiah, or the Antichrist, and his cohort, the false prophet. And on the last program, we were talking about the reference in Revelation 17 to Mystery Babylon, the religious system of the Antichrist. We said the Lord uses the term Babylon to symbolize this end-time religious system, because Babel is where ancient pagan religion was born. This ancient city became the personification of human deification, man's desire to rule himself. So the Lord calls this end time empire of the Antichrist Babylon. Now, some people have suggested that this is a reference to the literal city of Babylon. In fact, I have friends who believe that. And yes, I know the Iraqis are building a desert Disneyland, and they're calling it Babylon out there in Iraq. But it has no connection with the original city of Babylon, except for the fact that it's not far from where ancient Babylon was located. But this is a tourist attraction. The Iraqis have actually been working on it for almost 20 years. I mean, this is nothing new. By the way, Isaiah prophesied that the real Babylon would be destroyed, never to be inhabited again. You can look at it in Isaiah 13, verses 19 through 22. So what the book of Revelation is talking about here is not the literal city of Babylon. It is Mystery Babylon, which is a code name for an end time religious and political establishment. It represents Satan's attempt to usurp the coming kingdom of the Messiah. So what all this means is that as we get closer and closer to the end of this age, we're going to see the world's major religions coalesce into a sort of one-world church, a worldwide religious system. It'll be a lot like it was in the days of the ancient Roman Empire when Constantine adopted this Roman version of Christianity and began the process of making it the official religion of the empire. And by the way, that process culminated in AD 392 when Christianity did indeed become the official religion of the Roman Empire. It was in AD 325 that Constantine convened the First Ecumenical Council. This was the first attempt to consolidate the forces of Roman Christianity, the Roman or Gentile version of Christianity, and to extend its control over the known world. This First Ecumenical Council was held at Nicaea in AD 325, and next time we'll talk about what happened there. Until then, this is your friend Gary Hedrick saying, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. You've been listening to Messianic Perspectives, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Gary Hedrick and CJF Ministries. Dr. Hedrick has been talking about the cumulative effect of developments in our generation. Everything is working towards getting one world ready for two men. If you'd like a copy of these programs, they're all available on compact disc for the suggested gift of $18. Just visit our online store at messianicspecialties.com and search for Getting One World Ready for Two Men. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. Even if you're one of our regular listeners, you still may not know that we're much more than just a radio program. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. We currently have missionary families serving the Lord all over the world, including the United States, Canada, South America, England, France, and of course, Israel. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on Getting One World Ready for Two Men, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.